I'm going to ask you, if you will, to turn to 1 Corinthians. It's the resurrection chapter, and I want to read some verses out of there. We'll be referring to several verses in there as we get into our lesson this morning. 1 Corinthians, I want to kind of jump in the middle, not the middle of the chapter, but kind of towards the front part of it, in verses 12 through 19. And the title of the message this morning is Don't Forget the Resurrection. Paul gives an argument here in the negative way, if there were no resurrection. And he certainly did not believe that, but he just did that for argument's sake. A lot of times when you discuss Scripture, you say what something isn't, so you might get to what it is. And the Apostle Paul is incorporating that kind of teaching method as he talks to the church at Corinth, and then as the Word of God would speak to us today. 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, verses 12 through 19. Y'all bear with me today. My medicine's giving me the cotton mouth today. So, First Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 19. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep or died in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. So that's the 12th through the 19th verses as we read that. And that's his argument in a negative way. And we want to get into that in a short period of time. We just sang this morning, Christ Arose, also known by the table, Low in the Grave He Lay, written by a Baptist minister named Robert Lowry in 1874. Let's just listen again to the lines of this hymn. He says, Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior, vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. As we think about death, or death is man's most dreaded enemy, that which needs to be out of the way if we're going to enter into eternity. And surely we are going to die one day, unless we're alive when the Lord comes. We're going to die then, but it'll be so quick we won't know it. He'll raise us up and change us. But death, man's most dread enemy, is powerless to reign over the Lord of life because Jesus has resurrection power. Jesus rules and reigns. And that truth has significant meaning for you and me and for every Christian. And listen to the chorus of what Mr. Lowry has to say. He said, Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Amen. That ought to send chills down our spines when we think about that. And think about Christ did raise from the grave. Christ was victorious over all that he did. Even on the cross of Calvary, we find many men saying, doctors giving their opinion of what killed Jesus. You know, they'll go into great detail and they'll say how he suffocated and how because of the way he was hanging, this happened or the way his feet were nailed to the cross, he wasn't able to push up. And so finally, the fluid just overcame him and he died. But I disagree with all that. That may be a medical reasoning of what led to, but I'm going to tell you what caused Christ's death. Christ gave up the ghost, and then he died. If death had conquered Jesus, we would still have no hope. Christ Jesus, Almighty Lord, as He hung upon the cross of Calvary, did so, choosing to do so, to glorify His Father. God had sent Him into the world to die for sinners. And so we see Christ in every avenue, in every picture that we can see of Him through the Word of God. We see Him doing the Father's will continually without swaying one way or the other, always looking to please the Father. And ultimately He did, because God said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." And so we listen to our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we look at those lines, do you see in those lines what Jesus' resurrection means to you? What does it mean to you when you think about that song, when you read the hymn, and when we sing the hymn as we did? Does it have that significant meaning to you? Do we realize the weight of what we're doing? If we're a Christian, we can rejoice in the fact that Christ is a victor, that He was victorious over sin, death, hell, and the grave. All of those things that would so easily entrap us and keep us there, Christ took out of the way. Christ was a resurrected Savior. And so the resurrection is real. And as the hymn said, we'll live forever with His saints to reign. He arose. Christ Jesus arose. It refers to the promise based on our baptism into the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's a spiritual baptism, not a water baptism, although the water baptism does typify exactly what the spiritual baptism did, that we died, that we're buried, that we're raised, and we're living today for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that, we have a testimony. Because of that, we have the life of Christ in us. And we've been given the commission as ambassadors of God to speak to people to be reconciled unto God. A dark world full of sinners, trying to get their needs met in every way possible, but always frustrated because those needs can't be met. The flesh is insatiable. If we meet one need here, it wants something else. If it's not that need, it wants another thing. Another thing and another thing. There's only one that can satisfy our longing. And that's Jesus Christ our Lord. For He only can take away the sin that so easily besets us. He only through resurrection power can give us the ability to live the life that we're to live according to the Word of God. Because of Christ, we have our hope and reason and ground of all that we believe because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul here now takes this argument and he puts it in a negative way that we might understand the significance of the resurrection. As we read the negatives, we see the positives. We that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ understand what the Apostle Paul is doing here. Corinth always had a lot of trouble, and evidently they were having trouble with the resurrection. They just couldn't get things settled. There's always a continual pull on the Apostle. Two letters to them. Two of the longest letters that he wrote to Corinth would indicate that he had the most trouble with that church and various things. And he touches on so many things, but right here in the 15th chapter is all talking about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did it happen or did it not happen? And so he uses these negatives to prove the positives. For argument's sake, he says, what if there were no resurrection? What if there were no resurrection? What are some things that would fall out from that if Christ did not rise from the grave? If He's still in a grave somewhere and He never came forth? We just think about that in a minute and we say, well, He came to do the Father's will, and all that time He did the Father's will. So He lived perfectly and righteously and all up to that point. Died on the cross as He was sent to do. He was the ultimate sacrifice, fulfilling the law to the jot and to the tittle. We see God's demands as we look to the law. We find our inability to keep it. But we read Galatians. Galatians will tell us that the law is our schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. And here Christ comes going to the cross of Calvary, dies, He gives up the ghost, and they lay Him in the grave for 3 days. And then the stone was rolled back. But what if He didn't come forth? What if He didn't come forth? We are still yet in our sins. There's no hope of resurrection if Christ doesn't come forth. But we know He did. But here's what Paul had to say as he approached them, as he was reasoning this out. See, Paul was a great teacher. He was a great reasoner. He would take and bring the Scriptures to bear on what was the truth in the Word of God. It gives us a great example to follow if we're talking to others and witnessing about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not so much our experiences. We can use our experiences, but our experiences are not end-all things that are going to convince people. But I'll tell you what will, if the Holy Spirit's there, and that's the Word of God. This is what we use, this is what we take, and this is what we tell them to look to and read upon and see what wondrous things God has done for His people. So, for argument's sake, he said, what if there is no resurrection? What if the resurrection of Jesus Christ is just a first century myth to be ignored or marginalized as a secondary issue? The implications of that approach are devastating to Christianity. Even more than devastating, there wouldn't be any Christianity. Wouldn't be none at all if Christ does not rise. Again, we read some scriptures. I want to go back to 16 through 19. I want to dwell on that just for a minute to bring out Paul's argument. Verse 16 says, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. We've got a big problem if this is true. You are still in your sins. Then also, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Not only us presently living, those that have died before us, they have a problem. They are still in their sins. And then it says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable or the most miserable or the most pitiful. If that's all we have. And Christ has not risen from the grave. So we look at all those things. Without question, the Apostle Paul says, if Jesus is still in the grave, if He is perpetually the sufferer and never the victor, then you and I are hopelessly lost. This is the importance of the resurrection. It cannot be denied, and we call ourselves Christians. We simply must embrace the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thus the title, Don't Forget the Resurrection. What is it that we do once a month? We choose to have communion once a month and we come in. What is that significant about? The death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we partake of that ordinance, we're reminded again and again and again of what wondrous things Christ has done for you and me. He has taken my place where I stood condemned to die. Jesus, as we sang in Him, freely took my place. And so, because He's done that, God will not judge me for my sins. He judges the Lord of glory, and He finds me innocent because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. What a marvelous thing that is as we think of that power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we think of His life, flowing blood, falling down upon His body, but seeing in that spiritual sense the blood of the covenant covering His people and saving them from their sins. We refer to in our communion so many times about the blood. There's nothing stronger than the blood of Jesus Christ. Some get offended because they say Baptists are about the bloodiest people about talking about the blood. But I have nothing other to offer you than the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ had to die that He might go through the process of death and then raise again on that third day. And raise again, indeed He did. We have the history and the Word of God. We have God's authority that Jesus did come from the grave. He was seen of 500 witnesses and His disciples and others. What's significant about me, I've always looked at that and it doesn't say any unbeliever saw Him. It just says believers saw our blessed Lord. And one couldn't contain herself, and she's running, see what I found, see what I've seen. Our Lord is not here. He is risen. Just like He said He would. Just like He said He would. You know, God cannot lie. There's things that God cannot do. We said He can do all things, but there's some things that God cannot do. He cannot die. He cannot deny Himself. Those are wondrous things. He's so sovereign, He put those denials in there. He made a covenant with Himself and with His people, that He would not deny Himself. And so don't forget the resurrection. He said, without question, if Jesus is still in the grave, if he is perpetually the sufferer and never the victor, you and I are hopelessly lost. And though that is not the case, I want to focus on the hypothesis, what if, that Paul assumes temporarily in 1 Corinthians 15, what if the resurrection were a myth? What if Jesus Christ were still dead and in the grave? What if that's the case? Now, we know that's not the case, but here's the result of if that didn't happen. The first of all, he said, you would still be in your sins. You'd be like you once were before you knew the Lord Jesus Christ. What a miserable state that would be. What a miserable thing to understand that I would be like I did in my old days, drunken and smoking and cussing and doing everything I possibly could that was not godly. Doing what come naturally. That's really what I was doing. Doing that which the flesh wanted to do. Engaging in everything that the flesh wanted to satiate it, to satisfy it. And it never was satisfied. The flesh can never be satisfied. So we would still be in our sins. And who would be the ruler? Satan would be the ruler. And what else would be hanging over us? Death. Death would be hanging over us. Not only that, but being in that state, if we were still in our sins, we have the wrath of God to deal with. No man can stand the wrath of God. Jesus, because he came to do the Father's will, because he intercedes for us, even now at this hour, because he stands between, he is a propitiation of our sins. He's the stand-betweener. He's the intercessor. And if the wrath of God were to boil up and come at us with all of its might, Jesus would simply stick up his hands and say, Father, that's one of ours. And that wrath is stayed. That's the power of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what the resurrection means when we think about that and think about the power. The resurrection was the end all of all that Christ came to do, as the culmination of what needed to happen to accomplish the purpose that Christ came. And what was that purpose? To save his people from their sins, according to Matthew 1, 21. Amen. Did he do it? Amen. Yes, he did it. Jesus did it. It's triumphant. But we're talking about what if? What if we would still be in our sins if the resurrection is not true? If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then sin won the victory over him and continues to be victorious over you too. No hope. Ultimate failure. If Jesus remained in the grave, then when you die, you would also stay dead. And so would everybody else that's ever lived that's in the grave. They would just be in the graves. If Jesus remained in the dead in the grave, then when you die, you would also stay dead. Even more, since, according to Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, were you to remain dead, death and eternal punishment would be in your future. There would be no way to escape hell, fire, and hell itself. Amen. No way. If Jesus does not rise, we're left to our sins, we're left to our own devices, and left to our own devices is not enough to cut it in the eyes of God. I can bring my filthy old self in his presence and say, well, I've done this and I've done that. And the Bible says it's no more than filthy rags before God. And filthy rags cannot redeem you from your sin. Your good works cannot redeem you from your sins. Your confession of faith cannot redeem you from your sins. Jesus can redeem you from your sins. And if you have placed a true saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will be saved from your sins. Amen. But there's nothing I can bring. The Bible says in Isaiah that from the top of my head to the bottom of my foot, what is it? There is no soundness at all. Right. Nothing that would be pleasing to God. What have I within myself as a man, as a fallen man, what have I that I could please my God with? I'll tell you what it is, absolutely nothing. But I'll tell you what I do have. I have all that I am without Christ invites His wrath to come upon me. And His wrath will surely come upon the sinner. You know, there's only two ways that we're going to pay for our sin. We're either going to pay for it ourselves or we're going to pay for it in Jesus Christ. Christ paid the ultimate penalty, and all that put their faith in Christ will be saved to the uttermost, the Bible says. Not just a get-by kind of faith. God doesn't operate that way. He gives us abundantly and exceedingly above all that we're able to even think or say. God's grace is that great. As a matter of fact, sometimes it refers to it as great grace. It's not just grace, but great grace. It's manifold grace. All these things are ours. We possess them when we've been saved by the grace of God, when Jesus Christ has shed His blood for us, when it's applied to us through faith in Him. And I continue to worship Him. And others, if it's myself and I pay for my sin, I will be damned forever. Justly so.
That's right.
Those that are not in Christ will know assuredly. They won't have to guess anymore what they've done to a holy and a righteous God. He's offended with sin.
Amen.
And it's amazing to me that He even took the time to bother to save any of us when we think about it and we think and examine ourselves. Even after we're saved, we still stumble and fall and we wonder, how in the world, God, could you save something like this? But then we think again, it's by grace.
Amen.
It's by grace. It's not what I've done. It's by grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and His resurrection power. The purpose of trusting in Christ is for forgiveness of sins, because it is from sin that we need to be saved. Christ died for our sins and was buried and was raised again on the third day. Look to the first of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and let's look at those 11 verses right quick and a few comments on them, and we'll move along. Again, where you've been, if you've left your Bible open, in the 15th chapter, in the first verse through 11, and listen to what the Word of God says. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. You won't find anything in the Word of God that doesn't point you back to the Word of God itself. According to the Scriptures. The only authority that we have to come to any kind of conclusion in theology or anything that we're taught is the Word of God.
Amen.
There's nothing outside the Word of God that we can add to it that would make it more true. Matter of fact, it might make your understanding of it false if you put something on the outside. In other words, it's not the Word of God in my experience, although we do experience the new birth. Everybody does it in a different way. We're born again the same way. Some might have a mighty conversion. It was big to me because of all that I'd done in my past life, and the people around me knew how I used to run. So it was quite a change to see Joey the drunk to Joey the saved man. And then called to preach. Other people are morally good, and it's just like a little bump in the road. It doesn't seem to be a great transformation because they've done that which is good as far as man's concerned. Now they're able to do that which pleases God and satisfies Him through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the blessedness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we find ourselves reading the Word of God and telling us that it verifies what has happened. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And listen to what else. And that He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep, some have died. These are in other words. After that, He was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Did you hear the last of that? So we preach, and so you believe. The power of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is to give us the information that we need that describes who Jesus is. And by the power of God, as He regenerates our heart, as we're born again, we embrace that by the very faith that He gives to us. We don't even have faith without God being present in our lives. He's the author of our faith. And so He gives us faith. And then by that faith, we believe, we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we serve Him acceptably all the days of our lives. If Christ was not raised, His death was in vain, your faith in Him would be pointless, and your sins would still be counted against you with no hope of spiritual life if there is no resurrection. That's a dark cloud. That's a dark cloud. Secondly, as He looks at the negative, using it in a negative way, really to get people to think. I've said many times lately that Christians are thinking people. We need to think about what's being presented to us. Go home, study it out, see whether it's so or not. We're accountable, as a matter of fact, for what we hear. Every word that I speak to you that's authoritative, that's a scripture out of the Word of God, you're accountable for that. You're accountable for knowing what that means and for what it says to you and what it does for you, whether it gives you freedom or whether it judges you. You're duty bound to study and know for yourself. Christians are thinking people. And this is Paul's way of talking to them about the resurrection. Second thing. If there is no resurrection, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. That is another way of saying those that have died in Christ have perished if there is no resurrection. What is the implication of this? If this were true, and it's not true, but if this were true, it means that every Old Testament saint, every New Testament saint, and every saint since Paul wrote would be suffering in torment at this very moment. If Christ did not rise from the grave. But we know better. That would include Paul himself, the rest of the apostles, Augustine, Luther, all of our heroes. Augustine, Luther, Calvin, Wesley, Moody, and the faithful and prayerful saints you've known, all those in Hebrews 11, that roll call of faith, all those would still be in their sins and lying in the grave. Every other believer in every age also would be in hell. Their faith would have been in vain, their sins would have not been forgiven, and their destiny would be damnation if there is no resurrection. If we're placing faith in the Jesus Christ that did not rise, everything is in vain. The good news is that He rose. And He rose. He was victorious. In light of the other consequences, the last is rather obvious. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most miserable. If that's all we have is a hope. We would have to do, as the Apostle Paul said, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Because that would be all we have. Is that all there is? There used to be a song. Is that all there is? Is that all there is? But I'm here to tell you this morning, there's more than that. Amen. There's more than that in the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. John MacArthur says this about this part of the resurrection. Without Christ's resurrection and the salvation and blessings it brings, Christianity would be pointless and pitiful. Without the resurrection, we would have no Savior, no forgiveness, no gospel, no meaningful faith, no life, and we would never have hope of any of those things. To have hope in Christ alone in this life would be to teach, preach, suffer, sacrifice, and work entirely for nothing. If Christ is still dead, then he not only has no ability to save you in the future, but he can't help you now either. If he were not alive, where would be your source of peace, joy, or satisfaction now? The Christian life would be a mockery, a charade, a tragic and cruel joke. And just think of the multitudes that we've been pulling along with us too, as we've witnessed this. Because we have no witness to say unless that Christ rises from the grave. The Christian life would be a mockery, a charade, or a tragic and cruel joke. Christians who suffer and even die for their faith would be just as blind and pathetic as those, quote, believers who followed Jim Jones in the People's Temple, David Koresh in the Branch Davidians, and Marshall Applewhite in the Heaven Gates cult. It'd be the same, but it wouldn't be no different. Since a Christian has no Savior but Christ, no Redeemer but Christ, and no Lord but Christ, if Christ is not raised, he is not alive, and our Christian life is lifeless. How do we know to put all the significance on Christ? Is there another way? Not according to the Word of God. You listen to the world and the other heathen false prophets that are spouting out that there's many ways to Christ. They're liars. And they'll be damned and they'll spend eternity in hell unless they're saved before their life is over. If Christ is not raised, if he is not alive, and our Christian life is lifeless, so we would have nothing to justify our faith, our Bible study, or our preaching, or witnessing, our service for him, or our worship of him, and nothing to justify our hope in this life or the next. We would deserve nothing but the compassion reserved for fools if Christ does not rise.
Amen.
But, don't you love the buts in the Word of God? But, praise the Lord, God did raise Jesus, our Lord, from the grave and from the dead. And Romans 4:24-25 says, he who was delivered up because of our transgressions and was raised again for our justification. He not only took our sin upon him, but he justifies us in the sight of God. And now we find ourselves from lowly sinners deserving of hell to a child of the living God with an inheritance reserved for me and for you and every believer that has believed throughout the ages in heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ and because of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have much to be thankful for. We have much to shout about. Because Christ lives, we too shall live. He says that. But in John 14:19 says, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. Jesus said those very words. Now we need to decide, is Jesus a liar or does he tell the truth? He says, I am the truth. So what are we going to believe? We have no other choice to believe that Jesus is the Savior of our soul. No other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved than that special name, Jesus. Give me Jesus. There's a little hymn. No, I don't know if you call it a hymn or not. It says, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. When I rise in the morning, just give me Jesus. When I go to bed at night, just give me Jesus. Jesus holds in his hands the power of eternity for all of his people. And he's satisfied the wrath of God forever. We will no more have to stand before God and pay for our sins than the man in the moon because somebody's already done it.
Praise God.
His name's Jesus. Jesus said, that one's mine, and that one's mine, and that one's mine, and that one's mine. They're covered in my blood, and they're saved, and they're going to be with us throughout eternity, world without end. Amen and amen. The glory of the resurrection. Because God has resurrection power. Because Christ has resurrection power. We too shall also live with him. Not only here, but in the hereafter. What a blessing to understand. Acts 5 says this, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus. God says God raised up Jesus. We're going to argue with that. Or we're going to look at the Word of God and say, you know what? That's what the Word of God says. I'm going to believe that. God raised up Jesus, whom you put to death. You know who you is? It's not just the ones that put him to death, but it's everyone who sinned against God. You put him to death by hanging him on the cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior. And listen to what he can do now, or what he has done, what he is doing, to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Jesus grants that. He's the only one who can. We are not to be pitied, for Paul immediately ends the dreadful what if section by saying, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. If we have any doubt about whether Jesus rose from the dead or not, you read your book. Read your Bible and it'll be throughout it. Just saturated in it, the work that Christ did. And then Paul said at the end of his life, and we sing it from time to time. I think we sung it last week. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul was persuaded, not by men, not by some notion that popped in his mind one day and said, you know, that really sounded like something good to believe in. He believed it through the power of the Holy Spirit and the revelation of his seeing his blessed Lord and Savior crucified for him. And he said, I have hope. I know whom I believe. You couldn't shake the Apostle Paul. I know whom I believed. And I'm persuaded. Who persuaded him? The Holy Spirit persuaded him. He's the teacher. He's the one that guides us in the way of all truth. Persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Those who do not hope in Christ alone for salvation are the real fools. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, what? There is no God. A man that says that's a foolish man. I was a foolish man one time to say such things. Whether you say it out verbally or not, you're denying it by your very actions when you're a sinner. You say there's not a God. You really don't give a care or a thought about it because you're busy satisfying yourself or trying to. But the Bible amply describes a man like that. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They're the ones who need to hear your compassionate testimony about the triumphant of Christ resurrection. They need to hear the word. So don't forget the resurrection. Rejoice in it and glory in it, for Christ is risen indeed. You know, the old Sadducees, they paid someone to say, just when the rocks rolled away, they came back with the message, he's gone. The rocks rolled away. And they paid the people to say that the disciples came and took him away. Anything they could to deny what they possibly might have understood loosely the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. First place, they didn't want him as a martyr. See, that was probably their main thing. But as we hear the story and it spreads, believers are rejoicing because he said he was going to do that. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. That's some of Jesus' names, the great I am of the Bible. And so I'll close with this. As we think about the resurrection, don't forget the resurrection. We need to think about that every day. That's what enables us to have the power to live. The Holy Spirit supplies our needs and our desires, but it's all based because Christ rose from the grave. If there's no resurrection, we're just foolish people, just walking around doing something to fill our times until that time when we die and go to hell. If Christ did not rise. But he did. He rose from the grave. Jesus said this, and I'll leave you with this. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall what? Never die. And here's the question. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? God help you to think upon it. God help you to know the answer to that. And I hope you could say yes. But if not, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Him. He's the one that would bear our sins away. He's the only one that can do it. He's your only hope of living a life in heaven above with God Himself. The only way that you can escape the wrath of God that abides upon you as a sinner is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved. God bless it to be so in the lives of each and every one of you is my prayer for Christ's sake.